Good afternoon, brethren, or morning. I'm still in the old mode, apparently. It's great to be with you all. You know, America is a country with amazing rights that we have as citizens, like things like guns. Who would thought, probably only in America, is a place where you can walk into a bank with a gun, but only if you're wearing a mask. Well, brethren, you've all seen the news after the killing of George Floyd and the riots that ensued with buildings being burned down, restaurants being burned down, whole downtown areas of cities. The whole country saw these things. The whole country saw the same footage of what was going on, but it was like we were all watching totally different footage because some people came away watching that footage, watching those videos, and saying, there are frustrated people who have, they're protesting, they have the right to do that because of their frustration, and that rioting is justified, right? The burning down of buildings is justified. And other people watched it and said, this is crazy. One senseless killing doesn't justify burning all this other stuff down. Other people have been killed in the middle of the riots. Both parts of the country, it was kind of divided into two parts, they both saw this same footage and they came to radically different conclusions. And the reaction of some was, well, let's defund the police. The police are the problem. And others are saying, well, if you care about lives, if you care about black lives, well, 3,000 a year, they're dying from crime. So we need to step up the police, if anything, but not defund them. It's interesting, and it's not a sermon about police or race or anything like that, but it's about how we can all see the same thing. We all have the exact same facts. The facts aren't what's in dispute, but how we interpret those facts are what matters. And it's not just a race thing or anything like that. I noticed last time our family went to Germany and we would talk with people, those are people a lot like us, right? They're in the church, they read from the same Bible that we do, and yet when we talk about geopolitical things, you can tell that most of them have an anti-American worldview. They're not like we are. You would think, well, they're going to be just like us, but they're not. And of course, my family has mostly a pro-American point of view. And these are reflections of different worldviews. A worldview is a lens through which you view the world. It's a framework that you have in your mind, and every new fact, every new piece of information that you receive is filtered through that lens and is fit into the paradigm of what you know or what you believe you know. And so to a greater or lesser extent, we are products of our upbringing and our environment. So not totally, but we're definitely influenced by our upbringing and by our environment. A lot of people, they'll watch TV and they think, well, I'm not influenced by this. And yeah, they have these commercials, but I'm not influenced by that. But really all those billions in marketing dollars, it's not being wasted. You really do tend to buy one product over the other if you are hit with a message over and over again, one way or another. And it's not just the commercials that influence you, influence me. It's all the rest of the shows too. Watching certain shows and certain lifestyles, you tend to adopt the worldview that you're exposed to. Right? And that's an important thing for us in the church trying to live God's way. Because the worldview that we see and the worldview of those around us is not necessarily the worldview that we ourselves want to have. So we want to have the right worldview. We want to have a godly worldview. Not in secular things, whether a statue should be torn down or not, on whether or not we should have to wear masks, but in major moral things like how we live our lives. And there are two main worldviews in the U.S., right? The U.S. originally had what we can call a Christian theistic worldview, right? That God sets the standards and that the Bible is the compass. And every new fact that we take in or every new idea, we weigh against that standard to decide what we think of it or to decide whether that new idea is a good idea or a bad idea. But lately the U.S. has another worldview. We can call that one secular humanism, right? Where it's all about what's good for us. Values are relative. So maybe something is bad, but we can reevaluate and something can be good because there is no particular standard. We as humans can make up the standard to suit our needs or to accomplish what we think is best. According to that worldview, all lifestyles are equal. All cultures are equal. And the greatest virtue is tolerance. So those two worldviews, the Christian theism and secular humanism, are diametric opposites, and the U.S. has been moving from one to the other. But which one is right? Well, Psalm 111:10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. So tolerance sounds good, and giving people the freedom to do anything sounds good, but it's not based on the fear of the Lord. It's based on human reasoning. So what can we do to ensure that we have the right worldview and that we keep it? First thing that we can do is we can be on guard. We have to be on guard. In 2 Timothy 3:1, Paul writes this, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." It sounds like today. And Paul is even saying that it is today's world, right? In the last days. Verse 3, "Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." That's the world that we live in today, and that's what we have to be on guard from. And Satan is subtle, right? The messages that we get from TV, they're not even packaged as messages. They're just packaged as story or as entertainment. But each one contains a message. And sometimes it just happens to be like that because it's just a reflection of someone else's life. But sometimes there's an agenda. Sometimes the people who create those shows actually want to move people from one belief to another belief, or want to move our kids from one belief system to another belief system. And it's effective. Even among us in the church, we've changed because we are affected by the world that we live in around us. And if you want to test that, think about things now and think about things that you or I might do and what a Bible-believing Christian might think of those things in the 1800s. What kind of thing we would go and see. They might be shocked in the 1800s because they came from a different world where some things weren't tolerated, and some things now that we just see every day walking down the street, we take for granted. Or what would they have thought in the apostles' times with some of the things now? Not just our world, but even with the things that we might watch or expose ourselves to. Right? It's a hostile world, hostile to our way of life and to God's way of life. So the world has its point of view with political correctness, with all cultures being equal. And that's designed, you know, not maybe maliciously, it's designed to avoid hate, right? If we say that everybody's culture, everybody's way of life is equal, then we're not hating everybody and we're including everybody, which is a good principle, but ultimately all cultures are not equal, right? God's culture is superior to the best culture of the world. right? And every culture in the world, to a greater or lesser degree, has still held on to some of God's principles or has thrown them out to a greater or lesser degree. So things are not culture, they're not equal, and it's our job to judge and discern. That's part of being on guard. Right? The Bible says that the commandments were given for our good. So many of those have fallen out of favor nowadays, right? Now we can have homosexual marriage in our society, and most people think, well, that's good because we're avoiding hating. But ultimately, the law was given for our good, and it was given for a reason. We even throw out things like gender, but the Bible is very clear that there are genders, and they're separate, and it's not a fluid thing, right? This is not a new innovation of our society, right? If you have an old computer and you go to a new computer, that it's progress. Or you go from an old phone to a new phone, it's progress. But just because the world goes from an old idea to a new idea doesn't mean it's progress, right? You can objectively measure the computer, how fast it is or capable, and there's progress. But with ideas, it can be a slippery slope where we're sliding down, and it'll seem like progress because everything new, it's got to be better than the old thing, right? Because it's new. But that's not how it is. We have to be on guard because, like we read, things are going to get worse and worse in the end time. And we've seen that. The second point for having a right worldview is to prove all things. We need to prove all things. We need to prove them and be well-grounded in what we believe. Otherwise, we'll be susceptible to that drift, right? A slow drift from one worldview to another worldview. If we don't prove all things, we'll be blown around by every wind of doctrine. And every new idea could potentially seem like a good idea because if we don't have a foundation or a basis for holding on to the original idea, why not just switch to the other one? Right? That's what it is to be blown around by every wind of doctrine. And once we prove it, we also need to live it. It's not enough just to have the belief of the worldview. We live it. And that's why God even has us go through some things every year. So we don't just have it in our head, but we live it out and we really understand, for example, his plan of salvation because we go through it every year and we keep his commandments, which are our love, and it helps us understand. The third point is to take that worldview and to pass it on. To pass it on in particular to our children. So we know which worldview is prevalent in our society, right? And it's not the one that we have. You can say that it was a long time ago, right? And maybe people didn't keep the Sabbath or do things like that a long time ago. But there was a time in this country where the predominant worldview was that they believed in the Bible. In fact, 1900 was a pivotal year because before 1900, the majority of books that were written were actually religious books. So the majority of books were either Bible or a commentary about the Bible or some kind of religious concept. Imagine walking into Barnes & Noble and that's most of what you see. You know, now it's just a small fraction of all the books that are bought. But that really was the real world. That's not just a fantasy or how we might want the world to be. That's how it was. It seems like now society is working against it. If we want to pass this on and teach it to our children, there's a feeling that society is working against that and trying to fight and send a different message to our kids. And I think that's not just made up. I think that's really how it is. That Satan, who's the god of this world, wants to crowd out our message with another message. And think about it this way. How much time do our kids spend exposed to our worldview and our way of life compared to how much time do they spend exposed to the other worldview and the other way of life. That's a big deal. There's a lot to fight against, and we have to be deliberate with that. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Deuteronomy 6, 1 says, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded you to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you're crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord to keep his statutes and commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, that your days might be prolonged." So we need to pass down God's way like a precious gift from one generation to the other, from our generation to the next. Verse 6, "And these words I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit down in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up." So teaching children, it's not just Moses' job and it's not primarily the church's job. It's something that we need to do with, of course, the church helping as much as they can. But mainly, we need to do it. Verse 8, "You shall bind them as a sign on your head, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates." Verse 20, "When your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What is the meaning of the testimonies and statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded you?'" So when your son asks, so in other words, when kids ask a question, that's a teachable moment. Most teachable moments are probably in school. Most questions are being asked in school, right? But we still have some teachable moments for ourselves, so we really all the more need to strive to take advantage of those teachable moments, because we're, in some cases, counteracting the other ones where they're getting a completely different message that's made up of a different worldview. So, brethren, our culture determines our worldview. Our worldview determines our thinking, and our thinking determines our actions and our choices. And those actions and choices make up how we live. So we have to go all the way back to the beginning of that chain of events to culture. If we want to have a goal of living God's way in a way compatible with his kingdom, then we need to work back down to culture. We need to create a culture for ourselves in church, in our families, not just 2 hours a week here, but something that we include in our whole lives, right? When you rise up, when you lie down. We know the scripture that says that my thoughts are not your thoughts, right? God said that to Israel, and that's true. God will always be above us in his thinking. Our brains will never match his brains. But on another level, we're called, right? We have the Holy Spirit. So in many ways, our thoughts can be like God's thoughts. And our thoughts should be like God's thoughts. And that's a measure of the worldview that we have and how good it is and whether it's right. And that measure is given in the last verse that I have for you today, which is Philippians 2:5. The measure of a proper worldview: let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.